there's some, you know, out and showing of it. And but I'm sure that every person here is going through their own trials, their own battles. A lot of things happen to us in our life. Our life is a journey. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, and I'll stick by it. Since the Lord saved me, I can't imagine trying to go through this journey without it.
Yeah.
I just, if I had anything to ever be scared of, I would probably be scared of that. We have things happen to us that's good for us sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes we have things happen that's not good. It's bad. Like I told April last night while I was studying, I didn't realize that God is so good, especially to me. Used to, if I had any kind of stressful thing to come up, it really got on my nerves. I would hang on to it, not realizing I was doing it sometimes. I think I did that most of my life. But we're currently going through a couple of trials. It's not anything like Sister Teresa and Brother Scott is going through. But it's, for us, you know, it's bad enough. Some people go, to each and every person, your trial seems big.
Right.
Until one thing happens. Until you let the character of God come into your life and he takes care of it for you. And I told April, I just haven't realized we're going through a trial. I just didn't realize. I mean, I know about some I'm going through. This the last couple of weeks happened. And I hadn't even realized it. And it's not anything I did except trust in the Lord. So, like I said, I don't know exactly where this comes from when it came to me, but we're going to read this morning in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. I have things that come up in my spirit, and like I said, I asked the Lord yesterday evening, I started, and this morning too, and I read over, Lord, I don't feel like I'm, you know, to me, a person that's strong needs to do this. I don't feel like I'm that strong, but God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. Y'all pray for me. Y'all are already there and looking at it, and I haven't got there yet. So God is using Isaiah to talk and speak his words to the people in a prophecy. But it's very, very strong. It's very, very deep. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed away from God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Father God, to read and study your word, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the power of your word, Lord. Father God, help me speak what you put in my heart, Lord. Holy Spirit, sir, help me. Guide me. To be your vessel. I thank you for this opportunity to serve you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I did it. I am proud of it. You ever been in a trial? Most of the time, it's a major one. It really gets you down. And you look around and say, Lord, where are you at? What's going on? What's happening? Lord, I go to church. I worship you. And for myself, Lord, you know, I've got several different ways I worship you. I worship you in my prayer, my study, attending church with my brothers and sisters according to your word. I play on the praise team. I tithe. Why is this happening? It's not. Why is it happening? Bad things happen in this world. And it's just like in this scripture, Israel is asking God, can't you see what's going on with us? We're in this bad place. Are you not even paying attention, Lord? I've been there. I've done it. I'm not proud of it. But it's a human thing. It's a man thing. But we can break it.
Yep.
We can do away with it. It's not easy. I'll give God all honor and praise and glory because he broke that habit to me that I look back in my life. I used to hang on to stuff in my life that caused me grief or trouble or stress. I remember doing it. I would think about it. It's things that might not bother other people's eyes. You know, whatever, let them do what they want to do. Whatever happens, happens. I wouldn't like that. On the outside, you couldn't tell, but on the inside, I was just like a big hurricane or tornado just constantly doing this with my emotions. Called to make a lot of bad decisions.
Yep.
Number one, none of them had anything to do with the will of God. He was not ever involved in it. Most 99% of the time. Number two, when it comes to God's word, it violates every word in the word of God about how you're supposed to live your life and make your decisions and handle this kind of stress and your problems. But if you don't live for God, you don't understand it. This is what's going on with Israel. They know God. They're saying, God, you can't see my pain. This ain't fair. How many times have I said that? Lord, help me. This ain't fair, God. I'm struggling. I'm discouraged. And I can't see you nowhere, Lord. One of the few times I did this since I've been born again, coming to this church, if it hadn't been for the messages I hear in this church, my beautiful, strong wife, April, and you guys, I probably would not still be here going to church if I had followed my same footsteps. But all I did know is there's a God in heaven, like his character, and who he is, I see happening in this church all the time. And I would just hang on to what I was hearing. If God done it for them, he'll do it for me. I just got to hang on. It's not easy. I always, several times, I would, you know, wonder, what did I do? It's not that you do anything. Now, Job went through a lot of stuff in the book of Job. If you read it, that's a whole lot of deep stuff right there. I read a lot of it. Some of it I still don't understand. You know, I get the general idea. God don't put stuff on us. He allows it to happen for a reason. Now, God's using Isaiah, and Isaiah speaks after that, and he says, this is so powerful. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. You know, I've heard these verses and heard them, and there had come a time that I had to, as Brother Scotty said, I had to meditate on him. I had to believe him. I had to know him. That's what knowing means. You believe. I know this works in my life because I believe God, because it will work. God will work. It don't look like it's going to happen every time. It may not happen the way I want it to.
Right.
I'll give you an example. I've said it before. I prayed and asked God one time. I said, Lord, I want you to increase me in finances. You know how he did it? I got to work more.
Yep.
I said, okay, Lord, I want you to increase me in finances. I want a better job, less hours. Well, it's coming somewhere. I ain't got the less hours yet, but I'm increasing. I said one time, you know, the way I am, I need to watch what I pray for, because when the Lord answers, he's going to say, okay, son, here you go. It might not be what I want, but he's going to answer it. Sometimes, when you don't get the answer you're looking for, you think you're not going to get answered at all. Now, there's some things God will not answer, and some people may disagree with me, but God's not going to answer an obvious, I don't mean this way, it's going to sound, but it's when a person's in their trials, I've done it before, it's a stupid prayer. I'm not going to pray for God to do something that's against his word and against his will. But I've been taught and I've been in the house of God. I knew what was going on. But stupidly, instead of hanging on to my faith and being strong, I was letting it pull me down. I was saying, Lord, where you at? What have I done that you're not going to honor my prayer? That's not smart. We're allowed to ask God questions. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're not allowed to question God. And I'll get into that a little deeper in a minute. There's a difference. But Isaiah is saying to the people here in Israel, children of Israel, and we can use this on our own lives. And a lot of people will tell you that you can't apply the Old Testament scriptures to modern day life. Well, if you can't, then we've got 66 books that we're living a lie. And I believe this scripture, and it ain't a lie. I'm sorry, 39 books, I think it is in the Old Testament. But I'll use the whole Bible. If half of it's not true, the other half probably not true either. I mean, so to speak, in our minds. But I know it's true.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, in your time of your great trial, in the time of your lamentation, in the time of your downfall that you feel like there's no bottom to it, and when you hit bottom, there's no coming back, this is the time to run to God, not away from him. A lot of people today do this thing, try church. They'll go to church, maybe for a little while, maybe for a pretty good while, and they start having some problems in them. You don't see them anymore. Get away from God. And I'm not by no means making any kind of a ungodly and unworldly judgment on, as the word says. But the word also says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Right.
Our fruit being here today is that we love the Lord enough to be here at least.
Yeah.
But a lot of people turn away from the Lord because they don't see the results they want, the time they want to see them. I thank God for my wife, mostly, for not letting that happen to me and my kids. Because I was like Brother Scott. He said, well, if I don't go, how am I going to, how am I going to make them go? They need to keep going. This is me. It's not them. It's got the problem. And I was afraid I was dragging them down, and I probably would have. So. But I knew in my head and my heart, if I quit going to church, it may be a while, it may be a little while, sooner or later, my whole family not be in church.
Right.
That's a little bit a remnant in my soul, my spirit of God that I hung on to. It's not easy. But he's telling them, do you not know how great your God is? You think he doesn't see. You think he doesn't know. And that's the way I used to feel. You know, I've been taught all my life God is all powerful. God knows everything. God sees everything. Well, if I believe that, how come, I can't feel him? Why can't I see the evidence of him being in my life during this? I mean, I would dare to say if any of us know that the other person, any person in here is going through something really bad, we would run to them and do whatever we could to help them. If we knew that we could do that. But when you're going through this, you feel like God's like, whoa, I don't want to mess with you. You're bad. You make me feel bad. No, just go there. Maybe later I'll listen to you, whatever. But nothing's happening to stop what you're going through. And it may go on. Brother Scott and Sister Teresa said they went through one for several months, up to a couple of years. I've been through one myself for quite a few months. And it seemed like it took years. I'm talking about 6 months felt like, I had 4 or 5 birthdays go by. But it's not that way. God sees. God knows. These verses tell us the attributes, the character of our God. There's a lot more that do, but these do in particular. And like I said, it's a time to run to God. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not into your own understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Acknowledge God in all your ways. When you're in the middle of your trial, it's hard to do that. Now, he says, do you not know who I am? How I think of you? How I love you? The scriptures don't say that, but God is creator of all. He created us. He created this world. He created everything we can ever think, imagine. You say, well, what about the dirt? Yeah, he created that too. He says it in the Bible. But what about rockets? He created a man and gave him knowledge and technology to make a rocket. Every bit of medicine and every medical procedure that has helped man has come from man through God, through God's wisdom given to man,
right,
to develop that stuff.
Right.
It says that when they built the Tower of Babel, God said they were going, they're building the tower in rebellion, yep, to try to come to heaven and be like us. Let us go down and stop them. What does it say? Lest they succeed and be as one.
Yep.
God knows how we're made. When we come together and we do this miraculous supernatural thing of becoming as one in the same accord in our mind, in our heart, and our spirit, mighty, mighty things happen.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it's, and I feel it a lot. I can't say I do every time, but most every time I come to church, I feel that accord. And the stronger it is, the more things we may not even see what's happening. It may be something stored up in our future God's got for us that Brother Scott has been telling us about. He may know about it. We don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And he is eternal. It says his understanding is... Let me read it the way the Bible says. There is no searching of his understanding. That phrase alone right there is so powerful. What that means is his understanding of what is, of what we need, of what we are, is so much above anything that we can imagine that we
right.
can't even question.
Right.
We don't have the right to. Even though we feel like we do. Now God made us in his image. His image, that's powerful. We may feel like we're mortal human beings. Yeah, we feel pain. Yeah, we do this. God made us that way for a reason. Now, granted, some things happen that it goes the wrong way. But could you imagine? I just want you to use your imagination for a little bit. Living in a world where there's no pain. You never hurt. You never get old. You never get sick. You're always happy. I did that a few times. You know what that is? That's the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
It's going to be the new earth. Read it in Revelation chapter 21. That's another subject. I'm not getting on that. But God's trying to tell the people of Israel and trying to tell us today we must always remember who he is. He is everlasting. Always has been, always will be. His understanding is so great it's above being questioned. And he's the creator of all, anything we can think about. If he's the creator of all, he can deal with it all. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's eternal. And you always got to remember, I said something about this a while ago. We can always ask God a question. But we can't always question God. There's a difference. When you're asking God a question, and you can't tell me a God... I've got kids and I've got people that I love. If they're hurting really bad and they're like, I mean, to the end of their rope and they're crying out and you know, and they're asking me, I'm not going to come down on them like a load of bricks. Neither will our Father in heaven. When you cry out to God and say, God, help me. I can't understand. Help me to understand. That's one thing. Whenever you question God, that's another. That means challenge. Anybody that's ever raised a child has probably at one time been questioned by a child. They challenge your authority. They challenge your answers. How many people in here raised a child has told the child, do this, do that, and they say, why? And you say, because I said so.
Right. Yep.
That why from them is a challenge. It's in the form of a question, but it comes from the heart and it comes from an attitude of the heart. It's a challenge. We can't do that with God.
Nope.
You might ask me, why is that? Because if you go back, all the way back to 2 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul took his journey, that God put him on, and he sinned by not obeying God. He challenged God's authority. He said, I want to do this because I think it's that much better. Cain did it in Genesis.
Yep.
That's a challenge. God wants obedience. When obedience comes, that shows love. And one of the best illustrations I ever heard, Scotty told me, Sister Teresa said it, love is like a curtain rod, you hang all these attributes on. Faith, integrity, character, whatever else you want to hang on. Obedience. Whenever you do that, things start unlocking for you. I was sitting in a dump truck in 2013. In one of the worst neighborhoods in Birmingham, 3rd Avenue, on a job one day. This particular job, we had to have police outside watching us because of the gangs and the druggies and the people that lived in the neighborhood come up and steal the tools that the people, not mine, but the people that worked in the construction, or come up and hassle us, you know. They would come up to the door, hey man, give me a dollar, I'll tell you a piece of chewing under, you're my sister. Well, I don't hear it, get away from me. Well, they put a cop out there to keep all that from happening because they're hassling. Bad neighborhood. So this particular job, I sat there and I had time. I had to sit for them to work a little while until they got to put some stuff in my truck, got it for them, don't come back. I have time to sit there. Thank God. I don't even know where it came from. I got an older Bible I had and put it in my truck. And I was reading 2 Samuel chapter 15. Obedience is better. Samuel told Saul, than the sacrifices that you're giving to God. Even though you think you're doing them in the right spirit and the right way, it's not. It's not what God wants. I told the boys before, they go off and they'll do something pretty good, pretty nice, they think, for us, but it turns out being not such a good blessing for us. And I ain't going to say that they really messed up something up. Every once in a while they did. But I tell them, so look, boys, your heart's in the right place, but your head way out in left field. Got to get them together. That's what happens to us when we get in these trials. We let the trial overcome in our heart and our thinking the character of our Father, our God. His character is, I see it, I know it, I love you. Stay strong, you're going to get through it.
Right.
That's what these verses here is telling us.
Yep.
Does it feel like it? Not always. God's got three answers. Yes. Praise God, you know it when it's a yes. I feel it in here.
Yeah.
And no. Sometimes the no's are hard to hear. And the hardest one is wait. Sometimes I've heard in my spirit God tell me to wait. Sometimes I haven't. But I know to wait because God's got an answer. Now, there are some things that God does not always reveal to us. Even if we ask and pray for them. Things that happen to us. Now, I ain't saying he won't answer your prayer. I ain't saying that at all. But he won't always reveal to you what you asked for. I'm not going to say what it is. Who knows? Turn your Bibles over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Yeah, chapter 29, verse 29. Now, Moses has been talking to the people about a whole bunch of stuff that they went through and going through and had a book of that, God, what God expected of them. But he tells them in this last verse, he says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And he's talking to them about the law. We can apply that verse to God's word. God don't always reveal to us why things are happening to us. You know why that is. Now, a human being, I know because I am one. Sometimes I'm too much of one. If you come by and tell me, say, I'm going to stomp your toe, I might not like that at all. Or if you just come by and stomp my toe. But if you tell me, I'm going to stomp your toe because it's, you know, it's going to help you, this is going to happen, it's going to help you, I might be more willing to do it.
Right.
But the point of it is, if you tell me you stomp my toe and you tell me, so that's going to help you in the long run, and I'm okay with it, then there's some faith passed in between these two people. That's what God wants us. He's not stomping our toe, he's allowing it to happen. We know we have a Heavenly Father. Now, you get past the first part, you know how God is, how he feels for you, how he loves you, how he wants what he thinks. We've heard it many times, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the things that I have in store for you, to paraphrase.
Yep.
When we get to that point, we believe it, we're still in the trial days later, weeks later, months later. And it feels like it's just got worse. Now, personally, I don't know exactly what to tell you to do, but one thing. Now, I remember hearing this preached at this church. My wife told me, when we talk about rhema word, I knew it, but I wasn't doing it. But I was riding down the road one day in a truck listening to some preaching on the radio. And I don't remember who the preacher was, but he said these words. And I know I've heard them here. I've heard them at home. If you're praising God, you can't think of nothing but God, and you ain't going to worry about what your trial is doing to you.
Right.
If you're singing praises and you're reading his word and you're praising God, you ain't got room for anything else.
Right.
That's the way we're made.
Yep.
God knows it. That's the reason he tells us, meditate in my word day and night. Now, does that mean every single second you're awake? If you can do it, you'll come out like the Hulk. Spiritually.
Yep.
Because I don't do it near enough. I got to do it more because this message right here convicted me all day yesterday evening. I've got to do it a bunch more. Several reasons. Number one, because I want to know more about my God. I want to know more about his character. Even though I think I know quite a bit about it in my own brain, I want to know him so well that whenever something pops up in my life or in my head or in my spirit, I can say that's God or that's not God. Because if you don't know the difference, that's going to have effect on what you're going through, good or bad. The Bible says that even Satan has the power to transform himself into an angel of light. Satan don't want anything good for you. He told in the Garden of Eden, he told Eve through the serpent, he used the serpent, indeed God has said, the Lord God has said, if thou shalt eat of the fruit, thou shalt not die. He used God's word against her. But in the end, he's trying to bring down all of mankind, all of God's image. Everything he can hurt that belongs to God, he will do his best to kill it. Hurt it. Destroy it. Now, I'm not giving him no credit. God has allowed, because of what man's mistakes have made, this to happen. But God has given us such a wonderful way out. Now, whenever you're hurting and going through the pain and the things you're going through, it don't feel like it's wonderful. I know. It don't feel wonderful when you feel like you ain't got nowhere for you and your family to live. You ain't got much time to get out of it. And you ain't seen or heard nothing out of God yet. It ain't wonderful whenever you have this oppressive feeling about you that you can't understand where it's come from. You feel like you're serving God and studying and reading his word all that you possibly can, but something just don't feel right. And it'll happen. I know I'm not the only one that happens to.
You're right.
There's an old saying back in the 70s for us hippie-fied folks that's alive now. Remember, it says, keep on keeping on. I've heard preachers use it to make messages out of it back in the 70s. Keep on keeping on. Keep on serving God. Keep on keeping on having faith in our Lord and our God.
Right.
He knows what he has in store for us.
Right.
Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that you won't do it. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is a... Now, you notice in that last verse, he said that he will reveal what he reveals belongs to us. When God reveals something to us, it's revelation or inspiration or both. And what I mean by that is when you get a revelation from God, and I know everybody in here, if anybody in here has ever had one, or more than one, you know it, because it's the same every time. You cannot beat that. I don't care if it's John 3:16 or the shortest scripture said Jesus wept. If God gives you a revelation in his word, you feel like you're on top of the world. They can't nothing touch you.
Amen.
That's how you know the difference. Now let's see. Chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Where do we hear from the Spirit? In the Word. Even if we're in church, we hear from the Spirit through the Word. And like I said, when you hear from God, through him, the Holy Spirit, this is probably not a good analogy, but I've used some so-called, I used drugs in the past. I ain't trying to hide up anybody. The best I ever thought I felt on a drug on a high don't match anything that God gives me whenever he gives me a revelation. And sometimes I get revelations, and it's not that I'm reading his word, but I remember something. I can't remember it if I hadn't read it. And for those times, that's what gives me strength when I hit the bad times. When I start hitting the bad times, I pray. I don't fast as much as I need to. I do a little. I don't read God's word as much as I do. I read more than I used to. I do a lot of praying. I wasn't trying to fashion my life under it. Sister Teresa said it was a Smith Wigglesworth. You said, went 15 minutes to pray. He barely ever prayed more than 15 minutes. We prayed every 15 minutes or so.
Yes,
like I didn't ever think about that, but I caught myself praying. And I don't want to be a selfish person with the Lord. And more than once, I catch myself praying, "Lord, you know, there's a situation going on." It was going to, you know, wouldn't have been when I couldn't make a decision myself, but I give it to God. "Lord, help me make this decision." And that decision ended up being one that I hadn't even thought about better than I could ever think of lots of times. Sometimes I had to wait. But I caught myself praying a lot. And I got to where I make a habit of it. And what I mean by habit, it's not a bad habit. You know, sometimes you get in the habit of doing stuff like, now this is going to sound weird, but it's the truth. I dare say everybody in here says the blessing over their food before they eat. That's good. Now you would think it's not a bad prayer. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good to ask a blessing over it. But when you're praying over your food, you're trying to get done where you can eat. Yeah, I know. I've done it. But I'm trying to get to something else because I got two or three other messages I got to, you know. But when you have the prayer, I wrote it down. It says in God's word, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. One of the verses says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we want something done on earth, we're asking God to bring heaven down to here.
Right.
And we can't do that when we're full of the world, full of stress, full of worry, full of unbelief. We got to know God. If you don't know him, you can pray and ask God, "Oh, Lord, I need you to take care of this. I need you to fix this." What did it just say to them that love God? Romans 8:28 tells us that. He works everything to the good. Those that are called according to his purpose, for those that love him. But that's the prayer that matters to God. I'm not saying none of your prayers matter to God. But that's the ones he wants to hear. When he knows that you're looking to him and you're trusting him and you're asking him and believing him to call things from heaven down to earth and make a supernatural change. That's when it happens. It's hard to do when you're going through trial. I know. When things appear that it's not going to happen, you better get on that. Satan lying to you.
That's right.
I said appear. That's exactly what it is. Satan works on appearances. I've said it before, and when I came to the realization of it, Satan ain't got no bullets in his so-called gun.
Nope.
Jesus, what he thought he had, Jesus, or what we thought he had, Jesus took away from him. And Jesus is the proof of the firstborn of believers, the born again. Brother Scotty's had a message one time, got me through a lot of bad things. God is a good God.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Scotty, for that message. You have no idea how that helped me. He stood up here and said, I don't care what you're going through, I don't care what it looks like, God is a good God.
Amen.
He said, I don't care what I went through, what it looked like, God is a good God. I got an inspiration and revelation from that. I was going through some stuff. God is a good God when times are good, things are going well. God is a good God when things look like they're falling apart.
Yeah.
There ain't no hope. God is a good God when we're in great health, great finances, and feeling good. God is a good God when we're attacked, feeling bad, feeling like we may even die. God is a good God when a child is born. God is a good God when our loved ones pass on or become deceased. Oh, God is a good God. But he has to be who he is. He can't change. He won't change. If he changes, our hope's gone. You ever think about that? I'm glad he don't change. I'm glad he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, just like Jesus.
Yes.
We must always respect and reverence him as who he is, what he is, and how he loves us. Never challenge him. I know it's hard, because I've done it. I've had to ask God and ask for penance. And that's not easy to do. Because in my head, in my manly head, I felt like I was justified in asking because I went through it. No, I wasn't. God didn't put on. Some of this stuff that happened to me was my own fault. Not all of it. Some of it was. I've had a lot of bad circumstances happen to me in my whole life. Most of them, like I told you, I wasn't living for God. The few little times I was before I got truly born again, I couldn't stick with God's word. I couldn't hang on to it. It was none affecting my life. Because I didn't know it. I didn't believe it.
Right.
God's word says he knows a man's heart. You can fool yourself. I have been in church services before where pastor's family, their wives, sometimes the pastor, has come to the altar and got born again.
Yep.
Been a pastor for 30 years.
Yep.
And I also seen the fruit of that. Their life supernaturally changed.
Yep.
Their ministry supernaturally changed. They, as a person, just like we have, if you're born again, supernaturally changed.
Yep.
And we think whenever this change happens, we got it good. I mean, yeah, you're on top of the world. You know, you were at the very bottom of your life, and all of a sudden God sees in your heart that you really want to change. You want to do something to change, and he knows that you believe it, and he saves you and you become born again and you went from the bottom to the top.
Amen.
Just like that. And we become in the train of thought that we got it now, boy. We get powerful. And it's true. But you know what happens? We talk about the soul, your mind, will, and emotion, circumstances happen. And when that happens, we get our eyes off who God is and what he's capable of. In essence, we forget. I mean, if you really want to get right down to it and be real about it, whenever you're in a trial or a circumstance and you forget about how you felt that day you got born again or now, whenever it was, if you let this get you down, you forget what God is, because you let it override. And it can happen to anybody. Go back to Isaiah chapter 40. I ain't gonna be able to get to everything I have, but I wanna read this last thing I got. I'm gonna show you three ways in these verses, real quick. He says, he has given, in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And all that really means is, in the natural world, we all know that youthful people, you know, stamina-wise, they can last longer as far as running and working. I mean, when you're young, you can do more than you can be old most of the time in this world. But in God's world, in God's kingdom, even though all that happens, but he says here in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord. And I looked up that word wait, and it means to gather together. It's real interesting. It's a Hebrew word that means to twist. But it's translated here as wait, but it means to gather together. That means to gather together with God. When you get God in your life so much that it's intertwined and you get it twisted together, him and you, and you have that relationship, there ain't but one thing to stop you. You. But he said, they that wait shall, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In those scriptures, God gives you three things: divine intervention to help you in your circumstance. He either takes the circumstance away or he takes you out of it. Now, sometimes he doesn't do that. He gives you divine enablement.
That's right.
Yeah. What that means, it gives you the strength to continue through that.
Right.
You might not know it, but he will.
Yep.
And then you have divine encouragement. When you have walked and run through that trial as far as you think you can, and you're down to a walk in it, he gives you encouragement.
Yep.
He'll change you. He'll make you stronger. And when it's over with, what does it say? They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. Let me paraphrase that real quick. You shall run through your trial, and it's not going to affect you much. And you think you've run all you can, you're going to go to walking, but you're not going to faint and fall in it. You're not going to backslide if you wait from the Lord, if you keep your life intertwined in him. That's all I got this morning. If anybody got anything they'd like to say.